whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Wednesday morning. Well, what a busy and crazy week it has been from an Eagles standpoint yet. And I was chuckling before the show thinking they haven't even practiced yet this week. But it feels like it's been a lot. You know why? Because it has been a lot. From AJ to Jalen to BG to Sirianni and more.
Yeah.
Look, a 9-game winning streak abounds, an 11-2 record, but obviously it's been, you know, tumultuous. So we'll talk about it today and see where we are as we kind of reset as the Eagles, of course, gear up for Pittsburgh and the stretch run. Your phone calls today, 215-592-9494. Flyers get another win last night. They deserve a lot of credit for being a better team than we expected this year. Sixers still off. But we'll talk about a lot of it today with you, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hi, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The armhole in clothing is called an armsay. A-R-M-S-A-Y-E. Armsay.
I'm going to go with armhole.
Nope. Armsay. Armsay. It's really pretty close. It's really pretty. It sounds kind of cool, too.
Let me ask you a question. What word do you think works best with hole? Just asking.
I know you're just asking.
I'm just asking for a friend.
What friend would that be?
Yeah, what friend?
That'd be my friend that likes to be rude to people. That guy.
That is a great question, though. I can think of some words we don't
shut
use.
His hole!
We don't use often enough in combination with hole.
Yeah, it's
some of those words can really get some bite going if you combine them right.
Some bite. All right. So good morning to you. All right. So let's kind of recalibrate on the Eagles here for a moment. There's so many ways to go. Obviously, it's been a really fun season, and obviously this week's been incredibly tumultuous. Now, I was very encouraged yesterday with the way Nick Sirianni, I thought, did a fantastic job when he was with us trying to. A little bit of deflection, but more than anything, just saying, hey, it's not as bad as you guys think it is. I know AJ and I know Jalen, and it's not. Now, look, he may be right, he may be wrong, he may be misleading, he may not be. But I thought from a public-facing standpoint, he did a really good job of trying to defuse the situation. With that said, I'll ask everyone at 215-592-9494, what are you thinking now? And when I ask that question, what are you thinking, what are you feeling about the Eagles? It's not just about AJ and Jalen, I'm the whole thing. The whole thing. We got an 11-2 football team. We got a team that's got a shot to win the Super Bowl. We got a team that has a lot of same parts as last year, not defensively as much, but offensively, of course. And they had a shot to win the Super Bowl last year and collapsed. So how you avoid that? Saquon, the MVP thing. Saquon, the 2,000 yards thing. How good Jalen Hurts is. I mean, that's a conversation piece we got to bring back. Let's be real. Yesterday got smushed in the conversation. Because of the reality that, you know, AJ kind of took over and Brandon Graham kind of took over the conversation piece. But let's be real. When all of us went to bed Sunday night, while encouraged about the Eagles being a great team, a lot of people were increasingly discouraged with Jalen Hurts because it's, you know, he hasn't played really good lately. So I throw the whole thing on the table today and say, what are you thinking now? What are you feeling now about our birds? 215-592-9494. John, of the 37 different things that could be top of mind, what is most top of mind for you?
Man, I have a few things.
Okay.
I have a correlation that I think sort of matters here, and I'm worried about one little thing that I want to get out in front of.
All right.
As a fan base. I had the privilege to watch Donovan McNabb up close and personal as his teammate. I had the privilege, even more so, to stand in the tunnel with Donovan McNabb as his teammate, as the team is getting introduced, as the entire offensive line and the tight end is out of the tunnel. As Brian Westbrook, as the wide receivers are introduced, they're out. Brian Westbrook is out, and it's me and Donovan McNabb. Me, like, believe me,
I remember.
I know I don't belong, but I'm there.
You did.
I'm standing there with Donovan McNabb, and We didn't say much of anything, but looking in his eyes, just the things that we did say, the stress, the strain, the fact that I could hear people, I could see people flipping him off, like in my peripheral vision. Donovan, you suck! Like, as I'm talking to him, let's do this thing. As he's dapping me up, I could not believe how resilient Donovan McNabb was. And I guess I'm overly sensitive then a little bit to the quarterback's feelings, because it was also my job to protect Donovan. Yeah. It was also my job to shield Donovan, to pass protect for Donovan, to run block
for Donovan.
So is this a
layoff Jalen comment?
I think that there were a lot of times, yes, there were a lot of times where I could not get away from the reality that it must have been harder for him to play at the link than it was if we were anywhere else on the road. I thought, man, it must be like a chance to just sort of take a breath and exhale without everyone screaming at you how bad you suck here.
I'm with you, but what's the correlation?
I'm afraid that I don't want to get to that point with Jalen Hurts where it becomes a fractious environment when he's playing at home. We love our team. Let's not love our team so hard that we squeeze it to our chest and suffocate it. You know, Jalen Hurts, I want him to look forward to playing at home because it's a huge advantage for everyone on this team. Let's be conscious of the fact that it can go awry.
Well,
in that respect.
All right. So here's what I'll say. There's a lot of ways to go with all this, and of course you can weigh in at 215-592-9494. The Jalen thing, obviously, it's been a lightning rod of discussion, and I think the fan base is all over the place. There's people that think, I think everybody admires him, and I think everybody likes him on a personal level. He seems like a good dude. He's been a really good second-round draft pick. He's done a lot more than most second-round draft pick quarterbacks do, and he's given a lot to the Eagles and the city of Philadelphia. With that said, I can clearly tell you he's my biggest concern. He is clearly my biggest concern for whether this team will win the Super Bowl or not, because candidly, I think, I had said a couple weeks ago, I think he is in the back seat of the car of this team, hopefully headed toward the Super Bowl. I mean, the front seat of the car, in whatever order you want to put him, is Saquon, the offensive line, and the defense. I mean, I think you can make a case that Jalen Hurts is the eighth or ninth or maybe even the 10th best player on the offense. I mean, he's obviously better than Dotson, but he's not better than A.J., Jalen, Saquon, Lane Johnson. He's not as good as Dickerson.
This is ridiculous.
No, but man, I think it's what it is. I mean, I'm just
being
honest with you.
Jalen Hurts to Jahan Dotson.
No, I'm not comparing him.
I'm saying he's not better than Lane Johnson. I think
Jordan Mulata is a better football player. I'm saying Landon Dickerson, I think, is a better football player. I'm saying Cam Jurgens might be a better football player. So, here's the thing. I do worry about the Jalen thing, but I don't want to make that the exclusive, focus of the conversation today. There's a lot of things to get to. Do I worry as it relates to last year? A little bit, sure. Because here's the thing. Brandon Graham would not have said what he said on Monday night if he didn't believe it. Wouldn't have done it. So I appreciate that BG and Nick Sirianni yesterday handled things, I thought, in spectacular fashion.
I agree with that.
Spectacular fashion.
And Joe,
but that doesn't convince me that AJ isn't really frustrated with Jalen Hurts.
All right.
So it doesn't really matter if I'm frustrated with him. It does matter a whole hell of a lot if A.J. Brown is, and I think A.J. Brown's been really frustrated.
And I'm confident that they can work that out.
No, I'm not.
I'm confident.
I'm confident that they may work it out. See, here's one. Let me give you one of the points
thing. That they may work it out? You're talking about the quarterback.
Well, they didn't last year.
A.J.
Yeah, they didn't last year.
Well, we don't know the details of
the offense became constipated.
Constipated. We don't know the details.
We know they couldn't move the ball at the end of the season. So, and here's the thing, and this I think is a critical point to make, and I'm going to make it right now in the early to mid part of December. We're getting near mid-December, right? December 11th, it's stretch run time, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up, four games to go, then the playoffs, and then like a real shot at the Super Bowl. And here's my message to the Eagles as it relates to the offense. Stay the course. Stay the course. If you want to hear a theme that I'm going to pound today and over the next 4 weeks and stretch around the whole way, stay the course with Saquon Barkley and do not let A.J. Brown's frustrations cause a situation where Jalen is throwing the ball 7 to 10 more times a game to force feed A.J. Brown. That would be bad for this football team. This team has found an identity. This team has found a way to win football games at an extremely impressive clip. Stay the course of running it a ton. Look, you want to do an easy completion to A.J. early in the game to make him feel better? Sure, absolutely. You should. But I know this. If you're going to start slinging it around and expect Jalen to get it to him, and it's a way to force feed A.J. to make him happy, I don't think it's going to work. I'm being honest. Stay the course with Saquon Barkley. Maximize your chance to win a title. Could it cause a rift for 2025 and all that? Yeah, it might. It might. But I got a team that we can win a Super Bowl. I got a team that's won 9 in a row this way. Stay the course.
I think they're planning on staying.
I don't know, John. There's a lot of people saying AJ's going to get 150 this week. You know what scares me about that?
Not against the Steelers.
You know what scares me about that? Jalen could get back to turning the ball over. So, like that. See, that's the fascinating.
Well, that's the fascinating part of football. That's the risk reward of the quarterback position.
And you hear what I'm saying?
Don't put Jalen in a small bite.
Here's my thing. Don't buckle. Sirianni, Kellen Moore, don't buckle. You have found something. Stay the course.
I am confident. That's another thing that I feel about this team. I'm confident in Nick Sirianni's ability to navigate the emotional. And what we have right now is some emotional things that are cropping up.
For sure.
I know that this is his area of expertise. And I can see when we talk to these players, when we talk to Brandon Graham, that the players themselves are emotionally self-aware. So that's positive. That's coming from Nick. That's a trickle-down.
I don't know if AJ's emotionally self-aware.
Okay, AJ's different. I'm talking about
he's
Brandon
He's also the
Graham.
Second best player on the team.
I'm talking about Brandon Graham, the way he's dealing with things. I think it's very self-aware.
Well, BG also, look, I love BG, but he did something the organization wasn't happy with.
They weren't. But I think it's going to save the organization.
Maybe.
If things were headed south. The truth is we can win the Super Bowl this year.
I agree.
And we need to be comparing ourselves to the Detroit Lions every step of every day, because right now we have to play in Detroit.
Yeah.
Right now, I hate Detroit. I blew my knee out in Detroit.
Yep.
I know that's going to be a tough place to play. It would be a huge advantage to be here, but we are probably going to have to play in Detroit if everything, you know, goes the way it's gone thus far. Let's steel ourselves for that. We can win the whole shebang.
There's no question. I agree. Here to camera, John Ritchie. All right, what Sirianni told us yesterday about the idea of a team meeting or a smaller meeting to handle the matter. We'll get to that. Your phone calls, top of mind for you on the Eagles. And am I right or wrong to say stay the course? Because I hear a lot of people talking about feeding AJ the ball a ton. And I'm like, that's risky, man. I get how it solves one problem. I think it opens up more problems. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's kick it off with Jason today. Jason, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, pal.
Doing well, Jason.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk. I was riding home last night, and I heard a caller call in, and he was talking about he nailed everything down. He nailed everything down back to Sirianni as far as, like, locker room goes. Like, I just agree with him as far as, though, like, if a guy like Andy Reid was in here, like, a guy like AJ would be gone. Like, he did T.O. Like, he's just toxic to the team. Like, he did this last year. Like, he complains when we're winning. He complains when we're losing. Like, he's hard to please. Like, I know he's a prima donna. He's a hell of a talent. But we're winning, and he still has an attitude. Like, I don't know how to
please. Well, here, Jason, here's where it gets interesting. So I tend to agree with you. Sirianni's probably better at handling that now than Andy was 20 years ago. I think that's probably true. But I will tell you this. Ike said something fascinating yesterday that really grabbed my attention. that if this team gets derailed this year, if they don't, it doesn't. It's not about you have to win the Super Bowl, but if at the end of the day, Lurie, Howie, and Sirianni determined that they did not achieve all that they could have because AJ and Jalen couldn't get on the same page for the second straight year, then one of them will probably go. That's what Ike said yesterday. You know, and it's a reasonable point. You know, because it's not about handling prima donnas, where I'm not calling Jalen one, but AJ might be. Certainly he can be difficult at times. But it's about those guys got to get along. Like, it's not about how he's got to draft them and Nick's got to coach them and you got to work with the ego. At the end of the day, all that's whatever. But if the players themselves don't get along and it derails the season two times in a row, then one of them might go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of them has to go. Like, one of them has to go because we have, like, the success and the formula to win, and everyone's against it.
No one wants it to get to that point. I think we're just all now increasingly aware that that might be the outcome, you know?
I just feel like we're going to cross this bridge again because we have a formula, and I believe we're going to stick to that, so... What happens when we cross this bridge again?
Well, we'll see. Listen, Jason, it's a fascinating phone call. I mean, it's impossible to know for sure what's around the corner. We all know it could be one of two things. They could win a Super Bowl. I mean, it could be one of more than two things. But two things that are clear. They could win a Super Bowl or get near it. Or the whole thing could get derailed because the quarterback and wide receiver aren't on the same page.
We should not lose sight of the fact that this team, like, keep our eyes as fans on the prize. We have the third best odds to win the Super Bowl right now. It's close.
I hear you, man.
The Chiefs are up there. The Lions are up there ahead of us. I think we're better than the Lions. I think the NFC Championship game is going to be us against the Lions. I think we beat the Lions and we end up taking on the other team that is ahead of us right now in those Super Bowl odds.
We'll say.
It's very likely that
Devin,
we see them again.
How concerned are you, this whole situation?
I mean, it's giving major deja vu, and I don't want to point fingers. I feel like everyone's kind of picking and choosing who in the situation they put the most blame on, you know, Brandon Graham, A.J. Brown. I don't think A.J. should have said what he said, but not to be a body language expert, he was clearly very frustrated.
Of course he was.
Very frustrated.
By the way, we all were. Anyone that watched the game, it's like, throw the ball to A.J. Brown.
Right. The crowd was, too. You could hear the crowd coming through the TV. They were frustrated, too. And I think, you know, you mentioned the Lions and the playoffs. If the Eagles want to make it to the Super Bowl, I'm not saying they have to get A.J. 150-plus yards a game, but they do need to do a little bit more with the passing game. I think the lack of turnovers is actually what's kind of causing Jalen. He's not taking these risks anymore, and he's so afraid to turn the ball over that he's not getting it to guys like A.J., like Devontae downfield.
I think I think the turnovers that existed late last year, early this year, caused him to go in two things, into a shell where he's afraid.
Yeah.
But also, to his credit, and I think this probably comes from Sirianni and Kellen Moore and Jalen's own wisdom, he does see by playing a conservative, yes, I'll say it, game-managing kind of role, because let's be real, that's what he is right now, with a great defense and a great running game. Like, that is a classic formula to win in pro football. This isn't.
Well, it's also the right formula for this team right now.
Well, that's my point.
I mean, yeah,
with this team.
Yes, this is the right way to win with this group of guys.
Yeah.
But it also,
you know, you also have a good punter, like you're playing field position.
You get one of the best defenses in football. I mean, this is how this team is built to win. We might not have expected it because they've got $250 million quarterback and $200 million wide receivers.
Right.
But this is what it is. Like, this is what the offense is built to do.
40 years ago, Phil Simms knew his job was to hand it off, not turn it over, and let Lawrence Taylor go get the quarterback.
And that's why he has the best completion percentage in the history of the Super Bowl.
But you say built to do, and like, I get what you're saying. The running game clearly works, but you also have A.J. Brown on your team.
That's where it's so frustrating.
Right. So I think that there's a fine balance. Like, I just would like to see, I'm not saying they have to turn into a pass-heavy team. I would like to see a balance between the passing and running game.
I think they
need to do it in the playoffs?
See, I think, Devin, they found it. Yep. I mean, I hear it on this point. If, God forbid, they're in a spot where Jalen needs to throw it 42 times to win, we'll see if they sink or swim. I don't want them to try that in the meantime to find out.
I mean, they're basically 50-50. They're running the ball like 49-point-something percent of the time.
Yes,
I mean, it's as balanced as you could be.
Well, yeah, but it's imbalance from the standpoint
from
of the
NFL
norm,
is. I know. I'm just saying it's balanced.
Two basic facts. They pass it less than any team in pro football. They run it more than all teams in pro football. Those are facts. Let's listen to Sirianni. We asked him yesterday about the concept of a meeting or two. Here's Nick Sirianni. It was late in our program yesterday with us talking about AJ and Jalen. Does what has occurred lead to a meeting that you hold with AJ and Jalen? And does the entire situation in light of Brandon stepping in and making his comments last night lead to a team meeting next time you guys reconvene?
We team meeting every day. I talk to these guys every day. I talk to these guys in groups every day. So I talk to these guys all the time about whatever's going on in their lives, whatever's going on in the team. That's part of the connection that you're trying to build. And why is connection so important? Connection's so important in moments like where you feel like, okay, it didn't go as planned. Connection's so important in moments like, okay, maybe from the outside world, they think this or they think that. That's why connection's so important when you're in a winning streak, when you're in a losing streak. Connection's the key. Like, it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. And so we're constantly working on that as a team. And if I want our guys to work on their connection with each other, then it starts with me, and they got to see me connecting with them first. And so that's a constant. I'll spend an hour or so on the phone today with different guys like I do every Tuesday.
All right, that was Sirianni yesterday. I was very impressed with him. I thought he presented himself in a great way. And if you notice, he didn't say yes or no to the question of a specific meeting.
I thought that was very interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And I felt wise, because if he says I'm going to hold a meeting, then that's a big story. And if he says I'm not going to hold a meeting, then that's a big story. And his thing was, I always hold meetings.
He handled it very professionally.
Yeah.
I thought.
Really?
He didn't hide from it, and he just said this is what it is.
Totally. And frankly, it kind of, I think, emboldens, I don't know if emboldens is the right word, it reinforces why for 4 years now he's been talking about connectivity. Now, to be fair, last year he was 3 years into it, and they were 3 years into it, and the whole thing fell apart. So again, I don't just assume that this thing's going to get back on the track with those two in a relationship, and I don't assume it. But I also know this. I think with Sirianni leading them, they got a better shot to get back on track than if they had other coaches leading them. I think he's pretty damn good. I really think
this is going to be right up his alley. You know, right? He can apply his area of sort of expertise. You know, let's get in there. Let's get our hands dirty, guys.
But he probably tried last year. Let's be real. He probably tried.
And I think he probably learned, because
I hope so.
It was a mixed bag. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it was.
Well, that's why I think that's part of why.
And I think he'll show us that it will be.
Yeah, look, I'm a believer that that's why Brandon Graham went as far as he did with what he said. That Brandon Graham after last year is like, not again. Not again. Not letting it happen again. It is amazing when you consider how much has occurred this week with the Eagles, and they haven't even practiced yet.
I know.
I mean, it's insane. Everybody is talking about them.
Well, it feels that's why I woke up this morning. I was like, oh, it's Thursday. I was like, oh, it's not.
It's not.
Like, and I really, truly felt like it was Thursday.
No, I get it.
It does feel like Thursday.
I agree.
Holy cow.
I mean, we already digested a game. That was me with the microphone, by the way.
First time?
First time in the last minute. First time in the last minute. All right, Phillies. Let's get to a couple of Phillies issues, and we'll get to Sheil Kapadia coming up shortly. So much went on with the Eagles, we did not talk about the fact that they signed a reliever who has had a decent amount of closing experience named Jordan Romano. James, we turn to you. Jordan Romano, there was an injury last year, but success prior to that. How good is he? Should we feel confident he'll be healthy?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see about the healthy thing. He was really good from 2021 to 2023, like 95 saves or something like that over that period, somewhere in that range, 30 plus every year. Really, you know, good arm velocity with the Blue Jays. Last year had an elbow thing, like an impingement, had to have surgery on it. The velocity seems to be up in bullpen sessions, was down. Velocity was down last year because of the elbow. So for $8 million for 1 year, like, it's a nice flyer. Like, I'm fine with signing Jordan Romano. I don't want it to be like, this is the guy. We got our bullpen piece. He's coming in to close and everything else is fine. Like, if he's the bullpen move, I'm not okay with it. If he's part of this and a bigger move or something else where you're getting Hoffman back or something like that, then I feel much better about it. So it's a nice flyer, but I can't rely on Jordan Romano to come in and just be the closer and be set and be awesome.
All right, fair enough. Hey, also, Twitter poll question of the day. Obviously, the Alec Boehm thing continues to linger, whether he'll be traded or not. We ask you this Twitter poll question, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet with the all-new 2025 Equinox. It sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, do you think the Phillies will trade Alec Boehm this offseason. Sure, seems like a lot of people want him out. I'm not one of them. I mean, I'm open-minded to it if you get the right deal and the right return and who plays third base and all that, but I like Alec Boehm. Do you think he will be traded this offseason? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest. By the way, reminder, AMA today at 7, you ask, we answer. Of course, you got to get those questions in. Three ways you can interact with the show in addition to the regular phone lines: Facebook, Twitter, text line. Three ways you can get to Seltzer, who can get to us. Throw some good, fun, creative questions at us, sports or otherwise. We'll address them coming up at 7 o'clock today. All right, to the Eagles we go. And Shil Kapadia, who covers, of course, the Eagles and the entire National Football League for The Ringer, he joins us right now. Good morning, Shil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Shil.
Good, Shil. Well, you know, Shil, you've seen some Eagles weeks, man. You've seen the Jim Washburn canned, Babin canned. You've seen Andy Reid stand there and say, Kevin Cobb's my quarterback, and then the next day say, by the way, Michael Vick's my quarterback. I mean, we've seen a lot. This one, the last 3 days or so, Shil, feels very unforced. Like AJ caused a problem and didn't have to be there. But of course it stems from his frustration with what Jalen's putting out there. So let's start with that. You've had a chance to review the game film. What did the film show you about Jalen not throwing the ball to AJ and how often it happened?
Yeah, I mean, the film shows that if this is about AJ Brown not getting the football when he's open, that there are a lot of examples on the film of that happening. I mean, it happens on the second play of the game where they dial up a play for AJ Brown where he's open deep and Jalen Hurts is looking at him, but he doesn't throw the football to him deep. He gets cautious and he checks it down to Jahan Dotson. There's a slant in there. There's an RPO in there. There are multiple occasions, and it's not just to AJ Brown. You know, Jalen Hurts in this game, and it's become a theme a little bit for Jalen Hurts this season, is playing cautious and indecisive. And I don't know if it's because of the turnovers he had early in the season where they said, hey, you can't turn the football over. We're going to win with running the football. We're going to win with the defense. But that's the way he's playing. You know, previously, in previous years, we would point out plays where A.J. Brown would be double-teamed, and he would throw it to him anyway because he would say, I've got A.J. Brown on my team. I'm going to give him a shot there. And a lot of times, A.J. Brown would come down with the football. Those plays are missing from the film right now.
Why are the Panthers the team that, you know, they fared well against the two previous teams that they played, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers? They lost by 3 to those two teams. They lost to us. They kept it close. What did they do to make it tough? Are they playing well, or are we just playing mediocre?
No, I mean, I looked at it, and I thought that the Eagles left a lot of plays on the field. You know, and the other thing is that the game, the way the game unfolded was interesting to me because the Eagles only had 8 possessions in this game. So they scored, you know, 3 touchdowns on 8 possessions, which is not a bad outcome. But the way they offensively ran the football, converted on third downs, it only gave your offense so many opportunities to score. So that's something to just keep an eye on. I'm not saying it's easy to do or it's a blueprint or anything like that, but I do think that was their approach coming in, was to shrink the game. We're big underdogs here, and they were actually pretty effective in doing that.
Well, we saw the problems with Cooper DeJean after all the success he's had this season. We saw him sort of get schooled by veteran savvy. How much of that is going to be a problem? How much do you worry that Cooper DeJean's confidence will be damaged moving forward, Shil? How bad did it really look?
No, I wouldn't go overboard with it. You know, I think it was one game against, like you mentioned, a veteran savvy receiver who knows how to use his leverage, who knows how to set up defensive backs and did a good job getting open. It's not like every catch that Adam Thielen had was against Cooper DeJean. He absolutely got him a few times. There's no doubt about it. And when you're playing man coverage and he's got to face a good slot receiver, it's something to keep an eye on. But it was one game. I mean, he's had a phenomenal season to me. It's just kind of the ups and downs that a typical rookie goes through. He hasn't gone through a lot of those yet because he's played so well. And the same thing with Quinyon Mitchell.
So you know, Shil, let's focus in on, because this is such a big topic here, AJ and Jalen.
Yeah.
How big picture do you think fans should be concerned? I mean, we know Steph Diggs and Josh Allen don't play together anymore. We know T.O. and Donovan had a separation. We know that this team is most successful when they run the ball a lot, which will clearly limit AJ's touches. And then in the opportunities he gets, he may not even get them because Jalen might not throw it to him. How big picture concerned do you think people should be about this dynamic?
Yeah, I don't know the personal side of it and what's going on there and how serious that is, how unserious that is, whatever. You know, I listened like everyone else to your station this week and what Brandon Graham said and then kind of the messaging that came out of the NovaCare complex after that, and it doesn't sound like nothing to me. You know, it doesn't sound like, hey, there was one innocent comment and it got blown out of proportion. That's not what it is. I listened to the full comment there. So it's something that absolutely needs to be monitored, and not everybody has to be best friends, but these guys, have been very close in the past. We know that. We know that when the Eagles acquired A.J. Brown, and if you're a wide receiver on this football team right now, it's not that fun unless the team is, you know, really winning and winning big, and they've won 9 in a row, and so I think a lot of that stuff got masked, but they're the most run-heavy team in the NFL, and you're paying 2 wide receivers over $25 million per year, and, you know, they're not getting a lot of looks in the passing game because of what you just mentioned. So, yeah, it is a big deal for the next month here. It's also a big deal, by the way, for the head coach, because we've been talking, you guys have asked me about Sirianni a lot this season, and I've tried to be honest that, you know, I don't know that he's the guy who's driving this thing, but if you are somebody who defends Nick Sirianni and says, hey, he's a culture guy, he's a leader, guess what? You are in a time here where, yes, you've won a lot of games, but the final month of the season, suddenly there's some turmoil. You got to get guys on the same page because you got a legit chance at winning the Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, they're one of 6 teams that have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And so now you need your coach to kind of step up and do what he's paid to do. So suddenly things feel a little unsettled, but at the same time, that's how the NFL goes. It's week to week. I could be back here next week, and we could be saying, hey, they won 10 in a row, they beat the Steelers, and now you feel good about this team again.
Right. Shiel, this does feel like a week where the passing game will have to come out to play a little bit more, I would think, because of the Steelers' ability to stop the run better than the teams that we've played the last few weeks. What do you expect from the passing game? What do you how good is our passing game?
No, the passing game is not good right now. I mean, you can point to Jalen Hurts certainly needs to play better. I think structurally there are things they need to do. They need to lean into play action more. They need to throw the football downfield more. Jalen Hurts is throwing the football downfield less than he ever has in his entire career. You know, I don't think this is built to be kind of a station-to-station passing game. You need explosive plays with these wide receivers, and when the plays are available, he needs to pull the trigger. I mean, the first play of the second half last week, they tried to get A.J. Brown involved again. They go under center, play action. It's got to be thrown in rhythm on the right side to A.J. Brown, and Jalen Hurts doesn't throw the football. So, again, he's just playing very conservatively right now. And so I would like to see them early on in the football game dial up some shot plays and say, hey, if there's a gray area there, give your wide receiver a shot. Don't play. We don't want to turn the football over, but we also don't want to get too conservative because I do think it swung too far in that direction with the passing game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our kicker is a major issue right now, but what should we do, Shiel?
Yeah, Jake Elliott might want to thank Brandon Graham this week.
You're not kidding.
Good call.
A thank you card. I mean, it's an issue. When you're in a spot like they were in at the end of that game, look around the league. You know, around the NFL, teams are making kicks from over 50 yards at around 70%. And Jake Elliott is 0 for 5 from kicks from 50 yards or out. I mean, this to me is a big issue. Now, I don't know. He's been a great kicker in the past. We know he's been clutch. Maybe it's a small sample. But obviously, Nick Sirianni in that spot, when you're up by 6 points and you have a chance to kick a field goal and go up 9 and essentially put the game away, he said, no, we're going to take a delay of game and we're going to punt the football. So it's affecting how you're managing the game and making these decisions late in the game. So I'm not going to be a kicker expert or anything like that, but I know that when he's lining up from 50-plus, he's missed every single time. And so and it seems like the coaching staff doesn't trust him. So, yeah, that's a big deal. You know, it's funny. Them and the Ravens, two teams that I think are really good among the 5 or 6 best teams in the NFL, they've got kicker issues that they need to figure out before they go into the playoffs.
Big time. And, Shields, speaking of the playoffs, and obviously the one seed, which has been a big topic the last 2 weeks or so, but we've lost track of it the last 2 days. Let's just re-hone in back on that. Tell me if you agree with this statement. If Detroit beats Buffalo this week, the Eagles really just are not going to be the one seed. Do you agree with that?
I do, yeah. I mean, the Lions would have to lose two of their final four for the Eagles to even have a chance at the one seed, and that would be with the Eagles not losing. Now, if they lose to Buffalo this week and the Eagles beat the Steelers, now it gets pretty interesting going into the final 3 weeks. But, yeah, those two games are on at the same time late Sunday afternoon, and I do think they will shape the Eagles' chances for getting that bye.
Big. Look, if Detroit gets by this one, then good for them, because that's a hell of an achievement. If they get to, what would that be, 12-1?
13.
Yeah.
13-1?
Yeah, they're 12-1 now.
Wow, that's wild. Shield, have a great week, buddy. Again, everyone follow Shield at Shield Kapati on Twitter, and, of course, his tremendous work for The Ringer. Thank you, Shield.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Good stuff. Thanks, man. Shield. You know, one thing just to bring to light here, you know, he was talking about Jalen in the passing game. So Fran Duffy, who does phenomenal work covering the NFL, and he's phenomenal. And he used to work for the Eagles and has now, you know, created his own thing, not working for them. And he put stuff out on social media and stuff. And here's something Fran put out about Jalen Hurts. And this is not good. I know a lot of people think or thought that I was talking out of school saying stuff about Jalen going back last year, going back early this year. But it was very clear to me he wasn't playing that well in the passing game. And here's something that Fran put out that I think speaks to that. So he said, I'm reading right from his Twitter. He says, Jalen Hurts leads the NFL over the last month with 22.2% of his drops lasting 4 or more seconds. So what that means is he's getting great blocking by the offensive lineman. 4 or more seconds, the highest clip in pro football over the last month. He goes on to say, the problem is that 41.4% of those plays result in, meaning the 4 seconds or more, 41.4% of those plays result in a throwaway, sack, or scramble, which is the worst in the NFL, while just, and this is astounding, while just 2.2% of those throws go 20 or more yards downfield.
Whoa!
That's
2.2%.
I mean, alarming.
Yeah. Right, so you have four seconds or more, and you throw the ball on those plays downfield 20 or more yards.
When you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
When you have A.J. and Devontae. Yeah. And presumably corners are now starting to scramble.
Hard to stay with those guys for a long time. Yeah.
That's bad, man.
That's really bad.
That's really bad.
Especially to Shield's point and to what we've talked about with the gun-shy thing, that Jalen never used to hold back on those throws. I mean, those were the throws. It almost felt like before. What was the thing we came in saying? Like, take the checkdowns once in a while. Now it's like the polar opposite.
And I think if I remember right, the touchdown he threw to AJ, I believe, in the first quarter of the Super Bowl was in coverage. It was a great throw.
He used to throw to AJ in coverage all the time. Like, he used to fit it into little windows, pop it in and drop in the buckets.
And
like,
guys, that's part of how Foles won the Super Bowl. Foles to Alshon was in coverage. Foles to Corey Clement
was in coverage.
Yeah. Everything was in coverage.
Every throw, practically. You know? Every throw.
And let's be real. These guys aren't always covered. Also, there's also the open times, which is, you know, the last game. But there's 5 or 6 times AJ's just flat open, doesn't get the ball. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, when you call in today, you're shot to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Jim Gaffigan with the Barely Alive Tour. It's happening this Friday. Jim Gaffigan in town at the Met Philadelphia. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. So obviously, you know, AJ and Jalen, we don't know if it's quite at feud level, and hopefully it's not. We know Donovan and T.O. clearly got to feud level. I mean, that was outrageous, and continues 20 years later. We will ask you this question in honor of Donovan and T.O. and feuds that, you know, have happened before in Philadelphia sports. To the world of fiction, what is a notable feud from the world of fiction? Whoever provides the best answer today for a fictional feud, best answer is going to win the tickets to see Jim Gaffigan happening Friday here in town. John Ritchie, when you think of a fictional feud, what hits you?
It's got to be Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Big one.
That was mine.
Was it? Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I should have known that you'd take Star
Wars. Yeah, I blame you. I do blame you, Devin. You should have known.
It means a lot. It means a lot. Teacher, student, you know, and that's turned into they're mortal enemies. These are people who fought in the Clone Wars side by side.
They did.
And now they're turned into mortal enemies.
They did. They really
with
did.
Light and dark and lightsabers and murdering each other. They end up murdering each other. They end up plotting and murdering when it's all said and done, and they've killed one another off. And then at the very end of it all, they're in Ewok on Endor. There's a big bonfire, and they're happy ghosts waving to everybody. You know, like
it's a little strange.
What the heck?
Yeah. All right. It's a great notable, very fictional notable feud. Seltzer, notable fictional feud. What do you got?
Tom and Jerry.
Oh, oh man.
Simple.
I like how you just cut to the chase, James. I like
not
that a lot.
Around.
I like
you
that.
Know?
Rhea, fictional feud, what do you got?
Ron Burgundy, Wes Mantooth.
Okay.
In Anchorman.
You got it. Devin.
Love it. All right, I'll pivot and I'll take this one off the board. Rocky versus Creed.
Yeah, it was until it wasn't, but for sure it was.
What do you mean until it wasn't?
Until it wasn't. Then Paul, you haven't seen Rocky 3, have you?
No, I'm talking about Rocky 1.
Yeah, I know, and I said you haven't seen Rocky 3.
You need to know your Rocky history.
So you stopped it too, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, God, so, can you do the shame thing? I don't know where shame is. I need shame.
No, are you doing the...
Shame.
Mm.
I
shame.
Think Rocky 3 is the best
Rocky
one.
Rocky 3 is by far is the most it? Entertaining one.
I think it's
not even close.
One. I think it is
Devin,
the best
even,
one.
You don't even know
it's so entertaining. And 3 and 4 are the most entertaining. They might not be the best. I get they're not the best. 3 and 4 are the most fun, without a doubt.
Yeah. Three, no question.
How many are there?
You need to watch.
There's like 8 or 9 at this point.
Really?
If you count the Creed, it's part of Rocky. Because it got to 6 plus 3, it's 9.
Right. Okay.
You got some work to do over the holidays.
Do we
you
encourage
can skip
her
five.
To skip 5?
Yeah. Yes. Well, skip 5.
I have not heard good things about
but,
5.
But, you know. I mean,
you complete it like
yeah,
you complete a
I love the move where he does the spin, the whirl around outside next to the bus.
Yeah, except the bus.
Maybe that whirl around move, the takedown, is reason enough to watch the movie itself.
Well, I mean,
it is cool.
I think the reason to watch Rocky V is when Rock says, "Hey, yo, Tommy, you knocked him down. Why don't you try knocking me down now?"
The problem is once they get to
Nail
6
it.
And move forward, they kind of just act like 5 didn't
they
happen.
Do. They
yeah.
do.
And that's
why
the
do
problem.
You use your
like, he had
voice.
Brain damage in 5.
Because I'm a punch-drunk Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion.
Well, that's... okay,
it's actually
you
not bad. That's better,
that
better than
that
it's
was
been.
Better.
Yeah, normally it's horrible.
That was better.